It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, November 23rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Last week was, as Larry David says, pretty good for tech stocks. That includes one company that has been hanging in the balance, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. The business and cloud computing half of HP, which was split off from the printer part of the company, seems to have inspired optimism about its future in recent days. It'll give its first earnings report as its own entity tomorrow. Robert McMillan is at the Wall Street Journal.
It's kind of a cash machine. You know, the idea is that you would invest in this company and you'd just be getting dividends and it'd be very sort of predictable. HP Enterprise is a little bit less predictable, but some of the markets that they're trying to get into could grow very quickly, like security consulting or things like that.
Robert McMillan there from the Wall Street Journal. Sometimes science fiction is fantastic, sometimes it's scary, and sometimes it's real and scary. Some new reporting on a company called Silver Push suggested that marketing companies are starting to use inaudible sound embedded in advertising that helps to track you on all of your devices. It's a strange story, and it was reported on by associate editor at The Atlantic, Kaveh Waddell. Kaveh, how does this all work?
What Silver Push is doing, they're a company out of India, and what they've figured out is that they can tell which devices belong to you just based on how close they are to one another. And the way they do that is that they use these audio beacons. The audio beacons are ultrasonic. They're not something that you yourself can hear. It's not even something that your dog can hear. It's outside the range of human hearing, but your devices can pick them up.
Wow. And this is now being used in some cases in television commercials. There's an inaudible sound, at least inaudible to humans, in television commercials that is being sent out into the room that you're watching TV in, and it's detecting other devices, and they're detecting it?
That's exactly right. So some commercials just put in these beacons as a part of whatever audio is going on. Again, you can't tell it's happening, but if you've got an app open on your phone, that'll let them figure out that both devices belong to you. Now, it's important to note that this, for now, is only happening in India. That's what the founders of this company have told me.
Is it legal there?
Yes. Even here in the U.S., the regulations for cross-device tracking are still being developed. Just last Monday, the FTC ran a workshop to try and figure out whether they should get involved in regulating some of these cross-tracking technologies.
What privacy concerns should this or does this raise for consumer advocacy groups?
Definitely raises a lot of issues. Some of the more obvious ones is just that it's a way to track people on the internet without their knowledge. There are, when I spoke to the founders of this technology, they wanted to make sure that I knew that it's something that consumers need to agree to before they start using it. But the way that agreement looks is it's sort of hidden among a lot of other agreements that, you know, everyone clicks OK to when they're installing a new app, for example, on their phone. And so a lot of times people who are being subjected to this sort of tracking, whether it's very high-fangled audio beacons like this or the normal tracking devices that your browser probably already is using, they don't know it. And it's not very easy for them to opt out. That's something that really worries privacy advocates.
Kaveh Waddell is an associate editor covering technology at The Atlantic. Kaveh, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
If you think scholars of law are too boring to think about the First Amendment rights of future computers, you are so wrong. Later this month, a paper on just that subject is being published in the Northwestern University Law Review. Toni Massaro is a law professor at the University of Arizona, and she's the co-author.
Well, as everyone knows, modern computers, they can gather, create, synthesize, and transmit giant seas of information already. And they're becoming more human-like. They're increasingly interactive, affective, and corporal. We started looking at the ways in which they're also becoming more and more self-directed or autonomous, which means the computer can generate content farther and farther afield from human direction. And we started worrying about, as that evolves, if you can't find the us in it, what happens when these really information, exceptionally speech-rich technologies evolve if the government were going to step in and try to control it in a content-specific way. And we see black swans and white ones on the horizon, government interventions might be essential to prevent abuse by computers, but the government interventions might also produce a kind of Orwellian problem if they were content-specific interventions choking off the information that they produce.
Do you think that First Amendment rights for some form of artificial intelligence would potentially need to be different for it than it would for humans?
We think that it depends. It depends on what their capabilities end up being. What we're talking about is imagining that they have rights doesn't mean that we know at the end of the day what kinds of harms they could produce, and that we would expect and hope that law would respond in a way that would be sensible to restrict those harms, as it would with any other form of speech.
Toni Massaro is professor of law at the University of Arizona. She co-wrote a paper that will appear in an upcoming issue of Northwestern Law Review. Toni, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
And remember how Tesla's Model S sedan got rave reviews from Consumer Reports, and then the magazine downgraded the car's rating for declining reliability issues, whatever that means? Well, more issues for the company. It's recalling all 9,000 of the vehicles it has sold. The good news is that in this case, after a faulty front seat belt was discovered in a Model S in Europe, Tesla is checking others to make sure nobody gets hurt. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.